May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. New things, it can be a new day. From our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 2. Do you know the meaning of the Latin phrase status quo? It means the current situation, the existing state. Usually it is used this way: let's keep things the way they are. Status quo. But I've heard there's an alternative meaning. That definition says status quo means the mess we're in. That definition fits our gospel lesson for today. The Holy Family was in a big, big mess. They were fleeing for their lives. Think about it. If there was ever a family that God the Father in heaven focused on to protect and to bless, it would be the Holy Family. Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus. And yet, with fear, they took their meager possessions and frantically headed toward Egypt. A little aside. You know, today people are fleeing for their lives, like in Syria and other parts of the world. They grab anything they can. They're cold, they're hungry, they have that dazed look in their eyes. You've seen it on the news. They're fleeing for their lives. This is a cruel, cruel world for millions upon millions of people. And you know, the Bible never glosses over how cruel and heartless and wicked people can be to their fellow man. King Herod was a very evil man who caused great pain to his subjects and to his own family. He murdered his wife, Mariamne, and her mother, Alexandra. He murdered his eldest son, Antipater, and then he murdered two other sons, Alexander and Aristobulus. He slaughtered the Sanhedrin, that's the Supreme Court, the Jewish Supreme Court of that day, and 300 court officers as soon as he took the throne. Would you like to have him as the leader? It was really nothing for him to butcher those babies in Bethlehem. It was in character for him. Joseph and Mary were indeed running for their very lives. And even after they returned from Egypt, they were afraid to return to Judea because Herod's son was ruling that section of Israel. But there's really something interesting in our gospel lesson for today. Very mysterious. Joseph and Mary probably did not know that when they were fleeing to Egypt, they were fulfilling prophecy. Out of Egypt I called my son. And the massacre of the babies in Bethlehem, this too was a prophecy of Jeremiah. The script was written. All this tells me that God would make even evil people bend to fulfill his purposes. Joseph may have thought that he was protecting his family, but really it was God all along. Pastor Ron Mell, in his book, What God Whispers in the Night, tells about the unique form of Chinese puppet theater. Citing a Mr. Yang Feng, the fifth generation puppetry expert, he explains that traditional Chinese hand puppet theater is acted out on two levels. And they're happening at the same time. The lower level shows the characters as they progress moment from moment through the trials and tribulations of that particular play. On the upper level, however, the audience can see how the play concludes as the villains get punished and the heroes are rewarded. Because the audience can already see, because they're happening at the same time, the outcome by looking up, they are not overly worried when the situation looks grave and the bad guys gain the upper hand. Instead, they get vocally involved as they watch this puppet theater. And they begin shouting encouragement at the harried characters on the lower level. "Don't quit," they're shouting. "Don't give up. We know you're going to make it." I have to admit, when I'm watching kind of a scary movie or something, I know that ruins it for many people, I like to know how it comes out so I can enjoy it. Even football games, I like to know that my team wins ahead of watching it. I know, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? But that's me. You know, we can look up through the prism of God's Word and know how all things are going to work out. So, there are important lessons revealed in our gospel today that connect all this together. On January 6th, we celebrate, well, what do we celebrate? Epiphany. An epiphany is a new way of seeing and understanding something. Now, people without knowledge of God think that they are in control. Of course, they're not. Many of them also have a cynical, pessimistic, and jaundiced view of people. They sneer at the idea of a savior and believe that people can't change. You commonly hear this: that person will always be that way. People never change. They are hopeless. This forgets one important factor: that a Savior was born. Jesus changes the whole equation. He makes everything new. So I ask you, can people change? I didn't hear it. Yeah, they can. People are not hopeless. Our God, our Savior, is the God of the second chance, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. As it says throughout Scripture, nothing is impossible for God. So keep praying for people who have no faith. Keep talking to them. Anticipate a breakthrough. Their eyes can be opened. Their journeys of life can take a dramatic turn. That is exactly why Jesus came into the world. Can people change? Yes, they can. All things that cloud the vision, the evil, the wickedness that so affect people can be pierced. They can be radically different. They can be new. Hate to love. Lies to truth, selfishness to sacrifice, insensitivity to compassion, despair to hope. And yes, it can be a new day when we see that God is in it all, that He's in your life. I've heard there's a tradition in a certain place in Mexico that happens on New Year's Eve. Just before midnight in the central square, you will see people everywhere. You will see lights and music, kids and old people and families. Stands are set up selling all the usual souvenirs and food and festive items. But they would also be selling plain clay plates. And at a certain time, people would take those plates and throw them with all their force against the wall of the great cathedral in the community square, smashing them to smithereens. The tradition came out of a deep need to throw out the old and start over the new year in a fresh way. Pretty good tradition, isn't it? Smashing old resentments, old fears, old privileges, not privilege, prejudices, old sins, old worries, old ways, destructive ways. So at the end of the service today, I'm going to give you each a clay plate that you can throw at each other. We'll start a new tradition. No, not exactly. And it all signifies to me repentance. At the heart of being a Christian is repentance. Isn't that what we ought to do, especially on this day, on New Year's Day? I repent. I want to smash the sins of my life, my worries. I want to go God's way. I want to stop whatever destructive way that I have taken on. Now, one last thing I notice in this scripture. We always say we ought to believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, and so we should. But have you ever stopped to think? God believes in us. You know, he believed in Joseph and Mary, that they would listen to him. They didn't have to, but he believed they would. That they would follow his instructions. God believes in us. What a thought. The Bible says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and that he knows everything. So we may call ourselves failures. God is calling us forgiven. We say that we are hopeless. God says we're chosen. We may think our prayers are unheard, but God says, I'm all ears. We may say we don't belong, but God says, you're adopted. And we may fear that we don't measure up, but God says, I've prepared a place for you. Not only does he believe in us, he blesses us materially, but more importantly, spiritually. Years ago, Tommy Lasorda, do you know the name? Baseball coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he was introducing a LA celebrity to his star first baseman, Eddie Murray, who used to play for my team, the Baltimore Orioles, but he went, you know, betrayed us. And he came up to him and he said, hey, Eddie, how you doing? Murray replied, okay, like that. At that, Lasorda went wild. Okay, $2 million a year. It's March, there ain't a cloud in the sky. You're standing there wearing a major league uniform. You're 33 years old. You're headed to the Hall of Fame, and you're saying, okay? Then Tommy Lasorda said to Eddie Murray, you say, great, Tommy, great. Murray looked like Lasorda had lost his mind, a maniac. He was at loss for words. And before he could say anything, Lasorda was throwing at him again. You say, I feel great. Eddie Murray, wide-eyed now, said, I feel great. You know, it made me think, some people have everything under the sun going for them, and they'll start the new year miserable. And then, meanwhile, there are other people for whom life is a constant struggle, who give God thanks for all his gifts to them. Go figure. It doesn't seem to make sense to most people, you know. That. So what camp are you in? What camp are you in? We're sitting pretty good ourselves, aren't we? I mean, we've been given faith in Jesus, a fellowship of Christians to surround us, the Holy Spirit to guide us, and materially all we need. So, brothers and sisters of Christ, how you doing?
Great.
What?
Great.
I mean, what?
Great.
You have every reason to feel great. Our hearts should be filled with gratitude. We thank Him. So let's review what I've told you. It can be a new day when, one, we perceive what God is doing. Two, we accept the changes He wants to make. You know, guiding Joseph and Mary. Three, receiving His forgiveness. Four, and yes, this comes after that, smashing those sins and worries and destructive ways. Five, believe that God is for you. Six, thank Him, have a heart filled with gratitude. And seven, say, amen, I'm great. One more time. Amen. I'm great. And you are indeed. In the name of Jesus and to His glory, amen.
Amen.
Please rise. Now, isn't that a great way to start the new year? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forever.